This is Terrio Media.
How much is real estate in the metaverse? I mean, are people really paying millions of dollars? Is there anything cheaper? Well, let's take a look. You ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the all-new Epic Real Estate Investing Show, the longest-running real estate investing podcast on the interwebs, your source for housing market updates, creative investing strategies, and everything else you need to retire early. Some audio may be pulled from our weekly videos and may require visual support. To get the full premium experience, check out Epic Real Estate's YouTube channel, epicrei.tv. If you want to make money in real estate, sit tight and stay tuned. If you want to go far, share this with a friend. If you want to go fast, go to reiace.com. Here's Matt.
Buying virtual real estate in the metaverse platforms like Decentraland or The Sandbox, it's becoming an increasingly popular investment for the tech-savvy real estate investor who doesn't mind the risks of being in, you know, being an early adopter. However, determining just how much to pay for said virtual real estate, that's been tricky, especially since there are no professional appraisers in the metaverse yet. For many, knowing what to pay for a parcel in the metaverse platform or platforms, the ones of their choice, it's kind of like a crapshoot. The market has shown to be extremely volatile, meaning depending on when you're watching this, prices could be way, way down. And if you came back to watch this next week, prices could be way, way up. And just like real world real estate, there are several things to consider when determining how much to offer for a piece of metaverse real estate, all of which can help you better determine a fair market value for the land that you want to buy. Most of the same factors, though, come into play when pricing virtual real estate as you'd use to price real world real estate. For example, it's important to know how much the lots around yours have sold for, as well as the commercial potential of the lot that you've purchased, if any exists at all. So you can look at marketplaces like OpenSea to check prices, and you're going to want to look at location, just like real world real estate. You'll want to look at what you think the foot traffic can be and what you think you can get as a yield. However, one thing that's harder to predict with virtual real estate is who is about to move into the neighborhood. You know, big companies are buying and renting plots in a very hush-hush manner, which is impossible to do in the real world. I mean, if LeBron James moved into your neighborhood, for example, you'd definitely hear the rumblings. If a popular fast food chain were being built next door, there would be permits and zoning hearings, but not necessarily for the metaverse. Now, there are many different characteristics of land that can determine its value in the real world. Anything from, you know, retained mineral rights, access to water, the terrain, to existing sewer connections. All of these aspects can make a property more valuable to the right buyer. And the same can be said for metaverse lots, though buyers in the metaverse value different things. And so here are a few important characteristics of metaverse parcels. Number one, the location. That one's obvious probably, right? We've touched on it. But the influence on the price of metaverse lots location can't be overstated, because that means not only the location of the lot within its platform, but also the platform wherein it's located. Since metaverse land can't be moved, just like real world land, it is where it is. And if the neighborhood is a hot one, you may find you have to pay a lot more to be there. Number two, size. Although lot sizes in some platforms are the same, others are not. And this is important to note. You can also buy something called an estate, a real estate package that may contain multiple lots or a lot with a structure already on it. These additional parcels or structures can significantly influence the value of a piece of metaverse property, since they directly influence the size of what you can build on your land. And then number three, utility. You know, in theory, you can build anything you want on any metaverse lot, but some lots simply make more sense to use in particular ways. For example, if a lot faces a road, it might make a more valuable parcel for people who want to build billboards. If you hope to build a mini mall, you don't necessarily need the road frontage, since avatars can move through lots without roads too. If you're a lot or two off the main drag, a dominating structure would be just as visible from the road, and you'll pay less for the location. So prices for land in the metaverse have surged this year, with some plots selling for millions of dollars. Many brands, they want to secure space that they think will be popular in the metaverse, in the same way that they buy advertising space on popular websites. Price Waterhouse, Adidas, and Warner Music Group, just to name a few, have all invested planting their flags in the digital ground. Land prices have risen by as much as 500% since Facebook changed the name of its holding company to Meta in October 2021. 500%. So why are they throwing so much money at it? Well, imagine in the late 90s thinking the internet was a fad and would never amount to anything worth investing in. Sounds crazy, but many did. People don't want to make that mistake again. Many investors are viewing this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So if you missed out then, this might be your second chance. And considering that the metaverse is fundamentally a 3D version of the internet, and the expectation is that once the technology has caught up with the concept, more and more people will spend more and more time in this virtual world. You know, people spend a lot of time on the internet already. So why wouldn't they spend a lot of time in the metaverse? Especially if, as Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says, they can have experiences there that they can't have on a 2D website. All of this means there could be some very serious money to be made. The metaverse has the potential to become a multi-trillion dollar part of the world economy in the coming decades, according to Tim Sweeney, CEO of Epic Games. That's the company behind Fortnite. I mean, he's gone on to say that the next 3 years are going to be critical for all of the metaverse aspiring companies like Epic, Roblox, Microsoft, and Facebook. I mean, it's a race to get to a billion users, with the winner essentially being able to set the standard. So the race is on, and the amount of money it takes to compete, it's rising rapidly. I mean, someone recently paid $450,000, almost $500,000 to be rapper Snoop Dogg's neighbor in the metaverse. The metaverse's biggest deals have been by Republic Realm, which splashed out $4.3 million on land in the sandbox, and Tokens.com spent $2.4 million. They spent that inside of Decentraland. And some are saying that Microsoft's $68.7 billion deal to buy game publisher Activision Blizzard is a sign that gaming will be a key part of the metaverse, with people popping on headsets and gaming in virtual reality settings. Many questions, though, remain about the future of the metaverse. But the one thing that seems certain for now is we're going to be hearing a lot more about it in the years ahead. And in the meantime, people are currently paying millions for metaverse land. But we're still early. We're really early. I mean, the number of crypto wallets that own metaverse land accounts for less than 30,000 investors. Parcels in Decentraland can still be purchased for $15,000 or so, up from $6,000 just 12 months ago. So we're early, but it's going up fast. You know, $15,000 for a parcel, it's not chump change, but we're not talking about anything out of reach for most people either. The adoption of the metaverse is moving in the right direction. Most stats are showing steady, significant growth, which has translated to massive gains for early sellers on these platforms. And the trends point to these gains continuing. However, understand, and I don't know, maybe I don't even have to point this out, but these worlds are new and not yet fully established. So the potential might be tempting, but you may have to delve further and look beyond the statistics. You know, before you make any investment decision at this point, it probably makes sense to follow the wisdom of crypto, NFT, and blockchain vets. Do not invest more than you're willing to lose. So I'm getting closer by the day to making my first metaverse investment. The asymmetric risk to reward ratio is just too big to not take that chance. And that's my opinion. But I'll go ahead. I'll keep you posted as to what I do and when I do it. So if you'd like to explore the possibility of working together one-on-one in the real world of real estate with a creative, open-minded mentor, go to reiace.com. Answer a few questions and pick a time for us to hop on the phone, and we'll brainstorm some ideas about getting you to the next level of your real estate investing.
Thanks for sitting tight while we pay our light bill. We'll be back
right after this.
Ever hear someone say, "I have too much money"? Me neither. Let's get you some more. Back to the show.
Hey, Rockstar, got another live call for you today. And this one was very interesting. The seller was firm on his price, not willing to budge, I believe were his exact words. But he was very open to seller financing. And he didn't bat an eye when I mentioned subject to either. So watch how it played out. And then I'll run the numbers for you at the end. And then I'll even play you the follow-up call on the next day so you know exactly what happened.
Hello. Yes.
Hey, it's Matt, and I was calling about your property on that you might want to sell.
Yeah.
Very good. We texted back and forth a couple times, so sorry for the delay.
Yeah.
Super. So I know Jen talked to you a little bit about it, and I just want to review a few things to see if this is going to be a good fit for us.
Okay.
All right. She says the condition is like in perfect condition.
Yeah.
Okay. Super. If you're going to stay there, say, a few more years, is there anything that you know you would fix for sure?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I would probably redo the second bathroom just to remodel it.
The second bath? Got it.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
Okay.
I may update the floors, mm-hmm. like to go from the laminate floor into actual real bamboo. But outside of that, though, man, like, I just put in a completely brand new 16 SEER train HVAC system on the roof and in the thing. That was about a month ago. Not one appliance in there is older than 3 years old.
Okay.
The kitchen's been redone, new countertops. The whole master bath has been completely remodeled as well. We've got new carpets, flooring, and all that line. Not really, man. Nothing at all, actually.
Sweet. Are you living in the property right now, or is it vacant?
No, I have a month-to-month tenant in there right now.
Okay, very good. And what is the rent bringing in, may I ask?
Yeah, it's $1,200 a month. But soon as he's a really good friend of mine, but soon as this thing is up with him, his rent will be raised to $1,600.
Got it. And so it's month to month. Do you have like a verbal agreement with him?
I have a verbal agreement with him. Yeah.
Okay. I'd want to honor that. What's the extent of that if we needed to?
30-day notice.
Okay. Perfect. Well, gosh, it sounds like a perfect property. It sounds like something we'd be looking for. Why are you thinking about selling it?
Dude, like, I have a locked-in rate at 2.75, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was one of two things. I was thinking about wanting to wipe out some debt because I'd started a business venture down in Mexico City, and it didn't really work out that well, just given the climate that we're all in.
Right.
And for one, two, and I wanted to use the rest of that money to buy something else.
Got it.
But, I mean, but when you're valued at 310... $315 right in there, and you only owe $160 on it. It's kind of like, all right, you bought it for $185.
Right.
I'm way on the other side.
Got it. So you're gonna make some money on it, is what you want.
Yeah, I mean, like, just to have a fresher start. However, though, if I do get one of these jobs that I've applied for, I probably won't sell it.
Got it.
Just because the two jobs that I'm being considered for right now are well into six figures. Then it's just like, all right, you know what? I'll bite the bullet, live cheap for a year and a half, and I'll pay off my debt myself, and then I won't sell the property.
Got it. Do you have a deadline on that?
Probably in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so it's coming up. Okay, perfect. Have you considered just calling a real estate agent? Sounds like a perfect retail property.
I have. They're taking pictures of it tomorrow.
Okay, so this is something you're probably going to list.
I'm probably going to list for a little bit. And then if I do get one of these jobs, I'm going to have her pull it.
Got it. Okay. Well, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be the right buyer for you. I mean, it sounds like you kind of got it figured out. You know what you want to do. What did we have here?
I mean, but if somebody offers me what the current value is for those apartments that are in there, that are currently listed, I definitely consider it. But I'm not going to sell it for anything less than that.
Oh, I understand. Got it. All right. So what are the, I'm looking at some of the most recent comparables. I mean, the market is shifting so quickly and I've got so many opportunities on my desk right now.
No, I'm sure. I mean, the comparables that was sent over to me, the average is about 310, given the condition that my apartment is in.
Right. And it's a two bed, two bath, right?
And a two car garage.
Got it. We went back, because even just like, if we just took out May and just focused on June, when that was seems like kind of like the transition right there, mid-May. Let's see. I would love to make this work for both of us, but I got an obligation to keep the lights on over here. So,
no, absolutely. Yeah. I totally get it, my man.
Totally. So let me see. Just removing all of the three bedrooms here out of this report. And then,
'cause I got the same report from her as well. From the real estate agent.
Yeah. Do you got a time frame of how far that goes back?
Yeah.
Okay.
June? Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. So I'm looking at the public records here, and if we just looked at the two bedrooms within a quarter mile of your area, let me take out the one bedroom, take out the three bedroom, and then lots of three bedrooms in there. Like, we got the market, there, the average sales price. at 262. That's a little far
that's
off.
That's the thing, though. The thing is, if you go one block up, mm-hmm. you're in the hood.
Is that what's going on here? Okay.
Yeah, you go one block up, you hit, you're screwed.
Right.
I fit right in that pocket where Spanish Trails is. And this is why a lot of people like that neighborhood, is because I got the best schools zoned.
Uh-huh.
I'm right there before I get. So this is the thing, though. A lot of people, like, I see that you're calling me from L.A., and I'm from L.A. as well. And
yes,
it's kind of like if you're on one side of the street, wrong side of the street in Santa Monica,
mm-hmm.
you get into Section 8, you get into Section 8 housing. And if you go up one block, literally a quarter of a mile, you're right there in that hood. And that's where, like, has a lot of trailer parks mm-hmm. and all that jazz. And this is where a lot of people who are not 100% really familiar with that, because you look mm-hmm. at a quarter mile radius, but if you also look at a quarter mile radius in Santa Monica,
mm-hmm.
you jump into, you know, rent control housing, you jump into a lot of, you know, not right. as desirable stuff, because the first thing you think about Santa Monica is, like, you know, Third Street Promenade. Mm-hmm. I went to Sammo as well, and I get it.
Got it.
You know, but that's the thing, though. Like, it's not something that I'm willing to budge on. Sure. Average neighborhood, sure, within that quarter mile radius. But if you look around that quarter mile radius, there's nothing desirable in there.
What's this number 8 property? Okay, hold on, because I'm looking, and I am between.
If you get up the, mm-hmm. you're screwed. It's undesirable.
Okay, let me take out this one right here. That's weighing you down. Yeah, it takes us to 299.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah,
get up the drop, and that's the thing, though. And I got this little pocket,
mm-hmm.
and for what my interest rate is,
mm-hmm.
dude, if I'm about to pay off this loan in 10 years,
right.
So if I get a 6-figure income, you know, for the job that I'm looking at,
mm-hmm.
dude, I can pay this thing off and get myself out of debt. And now I'm sitting on a property in about 5 or 7 more years from now that could be worth $350.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. No, you're in a good spot. And boy, your loan is as much of an asset as your property is, really.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah. like when you have 2.75 as your fixed rate for 10 more years, well, mm-hmm. I had it for 15, I got 10 more years left on it.
Mm-hmm.
After I refinanced, because I refinanced it from 30, now it's at 3.9, and I got it down to a 2.75. Dude, my payment only moved about $75. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, but I cut my loan into half. And right. when you have an inflation rate at 8, it almost got paid to take out that loan.
Yeah, you're a little bit more, that's what I'm telling people all the time, too. It's like, we're like at negative interest rates. Even if it's 6%, we're still at negative 3% of what the loans are.
Yeah, I got a degree in economics for a reason, bud.
And yeah, you get it.
Thing, though. Like, you just noticed it. As soon as you took out that one house on that corner, mm-hmm. dude, it goes up to 300. Just pay $299. Just go up to 300 for round number purposes.
Right. No, I got you. No, I need that. I need that extra buck, dude. no, here we go.
I'll buy you a beer at the end of the day.
Sounds good. Yeah, the only way that the market would allow me to come up and get you your price is if you were willing to, like, take some money now and the rest later. Would you be open to something like that?
Yeah, like, I'm never going to say no to something until something's formally presented.
Sure. Okay. Here's the other thing that makes you a little bit more desirable than most people that I talk to is your loan right now. Would you be willing to leave that in place and just sell me your equity?
Maybe. Like I said, mm-hmm. my last statement said I owed $161 and some change. I make my next payment here in about 6-7 more days.
Mm-hmm.
What I dropped to my bottom line, I only pay $370 a month in interest, bro.
That's nice.
Like, shit.
Right.
That's all I pay in interest.
Okay.
So it's like I said, man, if you put something forward, mm-hmm. I can definitely look into it.
Okay.
It's really hard to come up with something off the cuff. Like, I'm willing to entertain any idea.
All right.
But
sweet.
I need something to take a look, entertain them.
For sure. No, I'll put something together for you, for sure. Just so I'm not wasting your time, though, if I were to give you some money now and the rest later, how much do you actually need right now?
$50,000.
Oh, $50,000. I didn't hear that. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, $50,000.
All right. I think that could be very doable. All right. Let me put something together, and then when can I call you back when you'll be in front of your computer?
Is this your cell number, man?
Yeah, this is my cell. I'm from LA too.
Shoot me a WhatsApp message,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we can schedule a Zoom call.
Okay, sounds good.
Sound good?
Yep, thanks, partner.
Bye, buddy.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All righty, so we might have something here. I don't know. We're going to run the numbers really quickly. But, you know, when I'm looking for a deal, I'm always looking for two things. It's really not a deal unless I've got equity and or if I've got cash flow. So those are the two things I'm always looking for. And then that'll put me in a position as to whether it's worth my time even making an offer or not. Typically, I will always make an offer, but, you know, how much time do I want to invest in this is really what I'm trying to discern right away. This is my quick and dirty math formula, so I'll show you real quickly. All right, so we know the seller's property is, I have it valued right at $299, so I'll say $300. The seller wants $310. Said he's not willing to budge, right? So an equity play, this is probably not going to happen here. Doesn't need to sell. There's no real distress. The property is in a great condition. I saw the picture online. It's decorated beautifully. He's already got an agent out there taking pictures, probably going to list it next week. So he's not going to sell it at a discount. If he has to keep it, he's more than willing to keep it. So what we have to do is run the cash flow play. Can we turn this into a cash producing asset based on his willingness to carry back the financing and even go subject to? So that's what we're going to look at. All right. So I saw the rents. He said he's going to re-rent this thing for $600 at the beginning of the next month. I looked online. That is probably market rent. And I'm already thinking right now that might not be enough for this to cash flow. So I did find a couple properties in the area that cash flow, that rented for $1,800. So that would be my best case scenario. And I think I'm going to need the best case scenario to even make this work just based off of what I was thinking. Information I didn't get from him was what the property would, or what the actual mortgage payment was. So I texted him back and he said $1,279. Wow, $1,279 with this 2.75% interest, because this is what I'm really going after, because that's really juicy right now based on what the rates have done. So at $1,279, that's kind of scary, because if I take the $1,800, and I know based on taxes, insurance, maintenance, vacancy, property management, I'm going to lose about 40% of this every month, averaged out over the year, right? So I just always hit that time at 0.60. So my real rent, what I actually need to keep each month, is going to be my net operating income. Now I got a minus the mortgage payment. You can already see that there's a problem there, right? My net cash flow. And I need to factor in what my down payment's going to be, how much money I'm going to pay for, or how much I'm going to have to pay for my private money on the down payment. And then we still got the gap between the value of the house, and then he owes $180. So that puts us at what? So I still got to negotiate seller financing terms on the equity here. So we're already $199. It's probably not a deal, but I was curious because this looks really, really high. So it's got to be a 15-year loan. So I'm going to call him back to confirm. And what I also didn't ask was about HOA. So I'm going to have to call him back on that also, because it looks like from an aerial view that he does live in some sort of condo type building. And I'm almost 99% positive there is an HOA there. So I'm going to give him a call back real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I mean, on you said your mortgage, you texted me back, it was $1,279.
Yes.
Is that like a 15-year mortgage?
15-year mortgage fixed at 2.75.
Okay. That 15-year, man, that might be the deal killer.
Yeah, it was for what my payment was,
mm-hmm.
to that,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm going to renew that lease for $1,600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
Got it. Are you managing the property yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you've been negative cash flowing almost, right, up to this point?
For the last few months, yeah. And then I'm renewing the lease September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be $1,600 a month.
Got it. Yeah. All right. So I saw $1,600 was kind of the average, $1,800 in your best case scenario. Do you have an HOA over there too?
What's that?
Do you have an HOA over there?
Yeah. $260.
Hmm. Got it. All right. Well, man, I don't know if I can make this work. You got any ideas?
Do you want to take it out, right?
Yeah, you know, I was even looking at a 30-year amortized with today's mortgage rates, and it puts me basically right at your 1279.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. That's why I refinanced it when I could. Because I was at 3.98 for the price, and for my payment went up from, I was at 3.8 something. Mm-hmm. And when I refinanced it at 15 at 2.75, my payment increased, what, $50?
Right.
So, got it. Yeah, that's just the thing, though, man. Like, if you guys want to take it out right, I'm more than willing to take some, entertain some ideas for you. But right. I mean, this is where I'm currently at.
Got you. Yeah, the rents just ain't keeping up with the prices over there. So, and then with that $260 in HOA, it's like a deal killer.
Yeah, I totally get it, man. I totally get it.
All right, man. Well, I just want to get back to you and let you know what I was saying.
I appreciate it, Matt.
You bet. Good luck, partner.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, so for sure we've got no deal here, unless I missed something. But this right here being this 15-year loan, that's the deal killer right there. And when he said, told me about the, when I asked about the HOA, so there's the nail in the coffin right there, because that puts us at, what, 459. And I haven't even calculated the down payment, but let's go ahead and do that, because if I were to go, you like give him 50K down is the down payment. I've got a couple sources of private money that I can get this down payment at right at 8%. It'll be a payment right around $333 that it only, there's another negative. So 459 minus, that would be plus, wouldn't it? Plus 333. So now I'm at negative 792. But not a great cash flowing property, especially when you're valued at $300,000. And then I still haven't even calculated what I would have to pay him for his equity to seller finance. So we got the difference between here. This was actually not 180, 160. So that would put the 300. There's 140. Then minus the 50 grand that I gave him. So it gives me 90,000, what I'd owe him, right? If you missed that, it was 300. Minus 160,000. That gives us 140 minus the $50,000 down payment. Now I've got to negotiate where I'm going to pay for this. I doubt that he would be down for principal only. Not that it would make a difference at all. But even if I was got some of the sweet deal and got it at 4%, you know, we're still, there's another $300 in the payment to him there. And so now we're at that 1,092 in cash flow. But that's not a positive cash flow. That is a negative cash flow. So I don't see a deal here. I'm probably better off just going to a bank and getting one of these high 6 or 7% loans that they're giving out today. That would do much better than what we got going on right here. So I don't see a deal here. I've got no equity. I've got no cash flow. If I miss something, if you got an idea that you saw that I missed or somewhere that I messed up, I am a student of the game. I am always open to learning. I learn something new at every single transaction. What you saw, what we could have done differently. And if you're thinking about changing the use case, because that would really be the only other option I could think of, is changing the use of the property so it would generate more income to cover all the debt service that we got going on here. Then, we could do student housing. We could do short-term rental. We could do assisted living. We could do all of that type of stuff in under normal circumstances. But this isn't a condo complex. And condos, townhome, connected home, something like that. But they've got an HOA there. And for most parts of the country, that HOA is going to kill a lot of those possibilities. But here in Las Vegas, it absolutely kills every single one of those possibilities. So my only option here are the traditional ways of buying, selling, and leasing homes for this particular property. And that wraps up the Epic Show. If you found this episode valuable, who else do you know that might too? There's a really good chance you know someone else who would. And when their name comes to mind, please share it with them and ask them to click the subscribe button when they get here, and I'll take great care of them. God loves you, and so do I. Health, peace, blessings, and success to you. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
Yeah, we got cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got cash flow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.